You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Music means something's going on. I just got a phone call from somebody asking me if I was, if I'd found any sergeant majors that'll talk about discipline. I said, no, they tend not to want to do that. I don't want to blast on sergeant majors, but you don't hear a whole lot of them on All Marine Radio, and it's not because we don't ask. They tend not to want to anger their, go figure. They tend not to anger their constituents. And no media is good media. If I wrote a public affairs tag for the way Sergeant Major deal with the media. Sorry. It's my historical experience. Right? I've chased some of them for literally for years. Hey, got time to come on? Oh, my great niece is getting married. My great niece by marriage, step niece, you know, seventh time removed. Did I just stop? Okay. I don't think that's an actual relationship. Okay. I think that's just somebody you know. But, anyway, so we'll see. We'll see. The discipline discussion, pretty interesting. pretty interesting. Good morning to you on a Wednesday here on All Marine Radio. Somebody sent me an email yesterday. Mac, you don't talk too much anymore about politics and, like, you know, one of the things and I don't for good reason, for my own mental health, can you imagine if the people in Washington, D.C. put as much energy into solving the nation's problems as they do into this game of dethroning each other? So you have, the mantra of the Democratic Party was, wait for the investigation, Mueller needs to have time to do his thing, you know, and it turns out that, right, Mueller doesn't find what they want him to find in the manner that they want him to find it. So now they're gonna have their own investigation, and then they're gonna get to the truth. So really, it just echoes the universal truism that comes out of all marine radio, and that is the truth doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is what I can sell and what I can leverage into greater power, more money, or whatnot. That's the only thing that matters. So the truth doesn't matter. So for me, it is a constant to watch that garbage. Is a constant, how do I say it? It's a constant boil on my ass, right? That, for whatever reason, we can't solve problems in the country. And so if you look at what's going on today, I mean, it didn't matter what Mueller said. And to me, after the Mueller thing got done, the next thing that ought to be investigated was this whole thing very deliberately done. And the people doing it had no idea, right, that it would consume what it's consumed when they started this fire. But was this whole thing very deliberately done by people, you know, by people with the means to at least, how do I say it, the means to at least have it appear to be credible? And then by having it, by sourcing it and linking it and all the rest of that nonsense, they would have the ability to make this thing look legitimate. Okay? Look legitimate. So to me, that's what this whole nefarious thing, and so you know at its core it's a lie. Just look at the people that are involved in it. Liar, liar, liar. Okay, so what do liars produce? They produce lies. So, I mean, that's what you see. But it's, I mean, honestly, when you look at it, I mean, how amazing is it that we watch it on a regular basis, and this drama that, you know, that our politicians absolutely love, and yet they can't devote the same kind of, rigor to solving the DOD housing problem, that's for sure. You can't do that. So, I don't know. To me, it's just pretty discouraging. And so, I have not. As I've said before on the program, I have the TV on right now, and I have it muted. I don't turn the volume up unless something catastrophic happens. So anywho, I have, you know, one of the things that I've come to know, and I have to be careful how I say this. I get asked all the time by people that attend post-traumatic winning, why hasn't anybody ever told me I'm not going to get over this? And my initial response was kind of I don't want to say it was glib, because I wouldn't be glib about that subject, but it was kind of deferring it, kind of not, I don't even know how to say it. It was kind of, was it patronizing? Because I wouldn't do that. I didn't give it the serious answer that I should. My initial answer was because I'm smarter than everybody, right? In that tone, like, so it wasn't serious, right? But I will tell you that there's a financial component to this that is kind of gross and disgusting. So if that's the plain and simple truth, then think about it. Like, how do you get over things that truly traumatize you? And the short, brief Marine Corps answer is, you don't. You don't, son. Now, let's go. Pick up your shit. Let's go. Wipe your tears. Pick up your shit. Let's go. That would be the Marine Corps for you, right? So I mean, but think about that. Why wouldn't people involved in the mental health business? And I'm not involved in that business. I'm just passing on to others the lessons I've learned after having kind of trod this trail for decades in my life. And then, I mean, honestly, like everybody else, I mean, I scuffle with it too. It wasn't until I started doing this and I started talking to people every day just about these things. And I heard the same stories all the time. A variation of the same theme all the time. Yeah. I experienced this, changed my life, didn't know how to deal with it. I resorted to alcohol. I got drunk for X number of years. And then met my second wife, and she was a great person, and she told me, hey, I'm out of here, and so I stopped. So it'd be some variation of that, and so these universal truths that have come out of it, I mean, they're not. I mean, when you hear what is included in post-traumatic winning, it's not like you're. You know, the ground is shaking only because the volume of the truth and the stark nature of the truth. That's why the ground shakes. It doesn't shake because it comes out of nowhere. It shakes because it's like, duh. And then the questions come. Why hasn't anybody told me I'm not going to get over this? And so, one of the things I wrestle with is, in doing it is, the financial component. What could be the reason why you wouldn't look at somebody and tell them the most fundamental truth of life with trauma? And that is, you won't get over it. You'll deal with this for the rest of your life. And to me, the answer to that lies in the financial way that people get compensated. So if I have X number of slots in my week, in my month, that I treat patients, and I bill every one of those at $200 an hour to your insurance company. So how many slots is that? 1, 2, 3, 4 in the morning, 8 till noon, and then let's just say I take a couple hours for lunch, and I work 1, 2, 3 hours in the afternoon. So 4 in the morning, 3 in the afternoon, an hour for lunch, an hour to work out, because I'm a pretty decent professional. So that's 7 slots times $200 equals $1,400 a day, which is not that much, times 5 days, $7,000 a week, times 4 weeks, $28,000 a month in gross revenue, times 12 equals total revenue of $336,000. If I can bill it out, okay. Let's just divide that by 2 if I'm only billing it at $100. And so, On the low end, 168. So somewhere between, let's just say, $200 and $325,000. If I'm billing between $100 and $200 an hour. So if I see you twice a month, am I willing to forego $400 of revenue on a monthly basis, $4,800 on an annual basis, as I gap one of those slots and don't fill it? I'm a business person. I have a family. I have bills to pay. I have a mortgage, right? And it's probably a decent-sized mortgage. If I'm making that kind of money, I'm doing all right. So I don't have another explanation for you why people don't get told you're not going to get over it. Because it is, to me, the most fundamental truth and the most life-changing truth And it's the most relaxing truth that you have. Oh, thank God. Right? And I talk about it in post-traumatic winning. You know, you would think it would be daunting to hear that, right? You're not going to get over it when somebody tells you that. But ultimately, it's soothing advice. Okay, well, then I'm okay. Then there's nothing wrong with me. Okay. Whew. I didn't know there for a while. And so, a couple of questions that I've been asked here recently that I thought I would share with you on this Wednesday hump day, the 8th day of May, which happens to be the anniversary of my first Holy Communion. That's right. Big day in my life. Big day. My black slacks and my white shirt and my white tie. Yeah, to show you what kind of state of grace I was in that day at St. Charles Borromeo School. And, big day. My cousin Linda, she made her, the same day, but not at my church. She went to St. Anne's. Yeah, St. Anne's. And, so we had a joint festival, I think. Corporal Punishment Kathleen made one of her great dishes. Linda's mom, my aunt Mary, and her husband Corky, a Navy guy, and they came over, as did all my aunts and uncles and my cousins, there was a bunch of people. And today I don't even know what year it was. I was 8 years old, 8 and a half years old, maybe. So that would have been 1965. Yeah, May of 1965. How about that? So, anywho, here's another email about politics. Thank you for not talking about politics more. There's only so much of that stuff you can take. And it is disturbing. We have health care issues across the country, certainly the immigration. Did you happen to see the editorial in the New York Times yesterday? I saw the headline. I did not read it. Let me share that one with you, though. Talk about things you don't expect. All right. Let me see if I have any free articles left this month, or if I've clicked on too many. New York Times, breaking news. There it is. I got to go to the opinion section. This is, I saw this already this morning, and it honestly made me chuckle. And it's a story about Google. And, you know, something that I find interesting is yeah, this is from May 5th. It's the New York Times editorial for May 5th. Congress, give Trump his border money. Yeah, like what? What is that? I did see that. And then the subheadline, no, it's not for building the wall. The editorial board represents the opinions of the board, its editor, and the publisher. President Trump is right. There is a crisis on the southern border, just not the one he rants about. There is no pressing national security threat, no invasion of murderers, drug cartels, or terrorists. No matter how often Mr. Trump delivers such warnings, they bear little resemblance to the truth. But as record numbers of Central American families flee violence and poverty in their homelands, they are overwhelming United States border systems, fueling a humanitarian crisis of overcrowding, disease, and chaos. The Border Patrol is now averaging 1,200 arrests daily, with many migrants arriving exhausted and sick. Last week, a teenage boy from Guatemala died in government custody, the third death of a minor since December. As the third death of a minor in resources from people coming from these nations is a miracle. Just as an aside. As resources are strained and the system buckles, the misery grows. Something needs to be done. Soon, unfortunately, political gamesmanship once again threatens to hold up desperately needed resources. Whoa, it sounds like it's to this point, right? Not too far from the center of the bell curve. On Wednesday, the White House sent Congress a request for $4.5 billion in emergency funding to help manage the surge. In a letter to lawmakers, the acting director of the White House's budget office, Russell Vought, sought to convey the scope of the challenge. In February, U.S. Customs and Border Patrol, CBP, encountered more than 76,000 illegal border crossers and inadmissible aliens, and in March, the number exceeded 100,000, the highest monthly level in more than a decade. He described what he said, the numbers he used, as alarming. An alarming number of women and children jammed into Border Patrol stations never intended for long-term shelters. Funding for vital services is not expected to last through the fiscal year. Most urgently, the program that deals with unaccompanied minors is expected to run dry next month, requiring resources to be diverted from other programs and leading to further deterioration in conditions. Let me cut to the last two paragraphs. The Democratic chairwoman of the House Appropriations Committee, Nita Lowry of New York, said the administration was seeking billions of dollars to double down on cruel and ill-conceived policies and bail out ICE for locking up more migrant families than it could humanely accommodate. But until better policies are in place, Democrats need to find a way to provide money for adequate shelter. Democrats have other lower-level concerns as well, such as ensuring that the Office of Refugee Resettlement is not used as an enforcement agency, or that the contractors and facilities used to care for children meet certain standards. As a condition of handing over additional billions, they are likely to push for at least a modest increase in oversight. They should aim to keep such tinkering as narrow and targeted as possible. If the White House is serious about needing the money, it should be prepared to agree to a few conditions and convey that need flexibly to Senate Republicans. As for the clash over detention beds, knowing how toxic the matter is, the White House would have been wise to leave it out of the request. It needs to advance quickly, postponing the battle for another day. Both sides need to dial back the fighting words, resist the temptations to finger point, and find a creative way through the minefield. You know, yeah, the New York Times. What? Yeah, the New York Times wrote that. So, how about that? You don't see that very often. And what a message to Democrats. The New York Times did what? So I did see that, by the way. But if the people that supposedly lead the nation devoted one-tenth of the effort that they devote to this stupidity that has consumed the nation, right, largely predicated on what, the false and deliberate peddling of a dossier that was intended to do exactly what it did, but never ever dreaming, those who launched it, that it would linger and have the, you know, effect that it's had. And, you know, and along the way, we've seen the unprofessional conduct of people that put their hand on the scale. Yeah. Which is incredibly disturbing, I think, for everybody that's watched it. And I don't care where you sit on the political spectrum, when you see people that are supposed to evaluate evidence, right, when you see their internal politics bleed into the equation, something's wrong. And nothing's, in my opinion, more emblematic of that than the former FBI director. That guy's a clown. That guy's an absolute positive clown. You know, the way he leaked what he wanted to leak, the way he didn't confront the president when he knows he should have, the way he went back and wrote memos. You know, the whole gamesmanship of James Comey is, you just watch it and you're like, that's not what somebody who raises their hand to support and defend the Constitution, that's not the way they act. At some point, you look straight at it, and your job is to say, I'm sorry, I can't have that conversation with you. And then, you know, if in a pointed conversation, if you cannot agree to work for that guy, then you resign. And you hold a press conference and you say, these are the events as they happened in the Oval Office on umpty-frats. But Comey not like that. So, and again, that whole thing, extremely disturbing. So, anyway, good morning on this Wednesday as the world turns. It used to be a soap opera. It used to come out of my house. So, good morning to you. The other story I saw that honestly made me literally laugh out loud. Headline, New York Times. It's actually an op-ed written by the head of Google. Privacy should not be a luxury. I said the word Google, and my phone like lit up. I didn't even say, okay, Google. Oh, are you listening? You guys suck, man. You guys suck. Can you imagine? A device that sits in my home, Orwell could never even think of something like that, right? A device that sits in your home that when you mention a certain word, begins recording your thoughts, begins recording your voice. Oh, clearly, how could that happen? Well, sports fans, that thing's sitting right next to you. So, here's his op-ed. Headline, privacy should not be a luxury good. Are you kidding? You follow us everywhere. You invade our privacy all the time. And you put it in those things that you agree to in your apps. Grant this permission. And then you have to scroll down, right? You have to scroll down the, 60 paragraph, little blurb to get to the bottom that says accept. Gee, I accept. Because all I'm trying to do is put reminders on my phone. Next thing I knew, you're doing your colonoscopy on me. So anyway, he's the CEO of Google. I mean, honestly, it's a joke. It's an absolute joke. And stuff Facebook has done, right? When they talk about privacy, do you expect me not to straight up laugh in your face? Right? So here it is. Mountain View, California, the home of Google. Google products are designed to be helpful. Oh, you mean like the one you're designing for the Chinese to be helpful so they can monitor people and help assign that social media score? No, it's patriotic score? What is that score called in China? Whatever the hell that thing's called in China. It's like there should be a series of, hold on, let me find them. This is like a comedy act, right? So with comedy act, with an old-time vaudevillian comedy act, if you don't know what that is, look it up. What? I'm looking for something, so. Here it is. All right. So this is the only thing that's missing from this. That's what's known as a rim shot. That's what's known as a rim shot. All right. So when you hear comedy, right? Johnny Carson was famous for this, right? All right. So there you have it. Now let me get my finger on that. Hold on. I'll read that to include rim shots, right? Google products are designed to be helpful. They take the friction out of daily life. For example, showing you the fastest route home at the end of a long day and give you back time to spend on things you actually want to do. We feel privileged that billions of people trust products like Search, Chrome, Maps, and Android to help them every day. It's a trust we match with profound commitment to responsibility and a healthy dose of humility. Many words have been written about privacy over the years, including in these pages. I believe it's one of the most important topics of our time. This op-ed's much better. This opinion piece is much better. With the rim shots. People today are rightly concerned about how their information is used and shared. Yet they all define privacy in their own ways. I've seen this firsthand as I talk to people in different parts of the world. To the families using the internet through a shared device, privacy might mean privacy from one another. Oh, my phone just vibrated. They're listening. Yeah, you guys suck. Right, from one another. To the small business owner who wants to start accepting credit card payments, privacy means keeping customer data secured. To the teenager sharing selfies, privacy could mean the ability to delete that data in the future. Privacy is personal, which makes it even more vital for companies to give people clear individual choices about how their data is used. Over the past 20 years, billions of people have trusted Google. We haven't trusted Google. We just use their products. Come on. With questions they wouldn't have asked their closest friends. How do you know if you're in love? Why isn't my baby sleeping? If you're asking Google that and not your doctor, you're a dumbass. What is this weird rash on my arm? Okay, call a doctor. We've worked hard to continually earn that trust by providing accurate answers and keeping your questions private. We've stayed focused on the products and features that make privacy a reality for everyone. So why would the guy who's in charge of Google be writing about privacy? Riddle me that, Batman. Why would that guy be writing about privacy? And the answer to that is somebody is about to... Somebody's about to go ahead and dial them up. Oh, dial them up, Mac? Yeah, dial them up. Somebody's about to dial Google's ass up. And along with all the other companies and regulate them relative to what they can and cannot collect on you. Yeah, rimshot was mine. So, so you see that headline and it's just like, are you kidding me? Privacy should not be a luxury good. Okay. But we all know it's not even a luxury good because nobody has it. You guys go wherever the hell you want to and you data mine whatever you want to. I mean, and the stories that come out from when Google people talk about things that like, you know, are chilling, right? So, yeah, you know, Google people talk about, oh, yeah, we go through people's stuff all the time. He concludes like this. Europe raised the bar for privacy laws around the world when it enacted the General Data Protection Regulation. We think the United States would benefit from adopting its own comprehensive privacy legislation and have urged Congress to pass a federal law. Ideally, privacy legislation would require all businesses to accept responsibility for the impact of their data processing in a way that creates a consistent and universal protection for individuals and society as a whole. legislation will help us work towards ensuring that privacy protections are available to more people around the world. But we're not waiting for it. We have a responsibility to lead, and we'll do so in the same spirit we've always done, by offering products that make privacy a reality for everybody. Yeah, that gets one of these. There you go. That's like allowing the people that provide housing to solve the housing crisis that comes up, it seems like, every 18 to 24 months when another story breaks squelch, right? So, anyhow, let's let the housing providers, let's let them solve it, you know, because, you know, private solution is always better than a government solution, yes, except it's not a private solution. Where the private sector is better is when the private sector competes. So what are you talking about here, Mac? Oh, I'm talking about a system where each one of these companies has its own little fiefdom guaranteed by this contract. And you've created a monopoly there with no oversight. And when you have a monopoly with no oversight, what does the private entity tend to do? It tends to maximize profit, which is what they do. And that's why you hear stories about, yeah, they came in, they sprayed bleach on the mold, right? And so what are we dealing with? We're dealing with the cosmetic nature of the mold, and we painted over it. Well, there you go. Isn't that how you're supposed to do it? No, that's not. And then when I wanted somebody to come in and test it, they said, no, can't do that. Well, who the fuck are you? Who are you to tell me that I can't do that in a place that I live? Oh, well, I own it. Oh, well, too bad. And then you get booted out of your house on a military installation because you had the unmitigated gall to go ahead and request an air quality test and a water quality test? Joke. Straight up joke, sports fans. Straight up joke. All right. United States Marine Corps Band makes this morning official. Good morning to you. This is dedicated to everybody who listens out there. I'm not sure how you get through your days when with the political leadership this country has, but this is dedicated to you, your patients, do good things in your community, and hopefully at some point something acts upon the nation that propels it to a better place, right? Led by our quote-unquote political leaders. And I use leaders, and that's I apologize to every leader out there by lumping politicians in there with you, but that's my sentiment this morning. So this is dedicated to everybody who listens out there and your level of patience, with the hope that someday it pays off.
We are proud. You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Time to check the weather. Yeah, we had, I don't know what happened. Internet went out. All of a sudden I looked up and things were going wrong. So, anyway, my boy Ohio Man, he chimed in. Radio check. So good to see he's still alive. He's been in River City for a while. Yeah. Currently, cloudy in 73 in Quantico. It's sunny and 80 at Camp Lejeune. It is sunny and 68 in 29 Palms, California. At Camp Pendleton, it's cloudy and 59. In Okinawa, Japan, it is warmed up a little bit. Dark, cloudy and 74. In the Helmand province of Afghanistan, in the Alambar province, it is mostly sunny, 84 degrees, late in the afternoon there, early evening in Ramadi. In Marjan, Afghanistan, clear, 83 degrees early in the evening there, and at the home of All Marine Radio. It was raining. Yeah, it is raining in May. Like, what? So it's cloudy and 61 degrees. Looking for a mostly cloudy day with a high of 67 today, 67 tomorrow, and 68 on Friday. What the hell? Anyway, let me read you a quick email. Mac, I echo your sentiment. The dude from Google talking about privacy, that's a straight-up joke. It always amuses me when you cite George Orwell. When we were kids and we read that book, 1984, we looked at it as so crazy that anybody could have that kind of control over something. We all looked at it as kind of some kind of cloak commentary on should communism ever come to an advanced world, what it would look like. We know that the communists would never have those kind of assets. Oh, excuse me. The Chinese do. And Google is helping them. Oh, wait. Isn't that dude the same dude that just wrote the opinion piece for the New York Times? Question mark. That's odd. That guy's part of the ownership of Animal Farm. That is true. Oh, and here's another shocker. The New York Times lent their opinion page to that jackass. Why would that be? Google is to economics as China is to world economics. Oh, well played. Right? Meaning the extorting way of the Chinese using their economy is what Google does. So Google tells the New York Times, hey man, we want to run something. We'd like you to run it at the top of your opinion page. Oh, no problem. Anything else? No, that's it. Thank you. Goodbye. That's how long that conversation took. So anywho, he goes on. The program is a bit of fresh air. I say that to you knowing that it'll go to your head and you will leverage it into something it's not intended to be. But you do tend to speak the truth and you do tend to stay towards the center of the bell curve. I would commend you for that. I have a take though real quick on the economics of mental health. I believe you're touching a rail that people don't even like to go near, and that is the capitalistic nature of treatment in this country. How many people that go into therapy do you think actually truly need it? I have no idea. My own experience with people that have gone to therapists for years is that it tends to be more reassuring for them. But they tend to still be a mess. The economic piece explains it pretty well, though. Shouldn't a doctor, if he doesn't need to see you or she doesn't need to see you, tell you that? I think so. The economics of mental health. That would be a pretty interesting little series for you to do. Look, I'm not trying to make those people mad at me. I was just trying to answer a question. Okay? I don't need the mental health people mad at me. They're already skeptical enough. Who is that guy? He's not a PhD. No, I'm not. I'm nobody. Nothing to see here. Well, are you a trained therapist? No, I'm not. I just help people. I tell them the truth, help people. How many years experience do you have doing this, right? You could start, like, I've been living with it since, like, 1983, something like that. So I just have OJT, man. I just have OJT. Oh, yeah, we all know that's not worth shit. So, yeah, I don't need to make those people mad at me. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll check news headlines. First headline we're going to talk about is USS Truman Command Master Chief to retire in the wake of strip club comment. So how many years of service do you think the Command Master Chief on the USS Harry S. Truman has? Right? That's a United States aircraft carrier. That's a pretty good deal, right? He's resigning for a comment that he made that gets thrown into social media and gets exploded, right? The world that we live in. All right. It's like I said, on a regular basis, it's amazing how these are, how these things, right, make headlines around the world. That's what, that story is the number one story in Stars and Stripes today. A social media bullshit, gender equity story. Oh, Mac, gender equity isn't bullshit. Oh, you're right. It's not bullshit. Right? It's not bullshit. More of All Marine Radio coming up next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Yeah, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Thank you.
sinking to a cold, bitter ocean. Feel the sting of letting go of all hope and so being made of this heartbreak.
All right, let me, this is no kidding story. The Command Master Chief who uttered those words is going to retire from the U.S. Navy. There's a picture of Command Master Chief Jonas Carter posing after donated to the Navy Marine Corps Relief Society aboard the USS Harry Truman in Norfolk in February 28th of 2019. He was in the news recently, cajoled sailors, making a joke, right? Clap like you're at a strip club, prior to Vice President Mike Pence's arrival aboard the carrier, is now retiring. The remark by Master Chief Petty Officer Jonas Carter, reported by journalists covering the Pence arrival, drew rebuke by the Navy. Navy spokeswoman Lieutenant Commander Laura Dagger said at the time that Carter's statement was inappropriate and that the Truman leadership would address it. Now that, you know what? To me, that's the way to deal with it, right? Should some stupid attempt at humor cost you your career? Maybe. I don't know. If that's the world we live in these days. His retirement was announced in a Facebook post by the carrier's commander, Captain Nick Deanna. He quoted a farewell message from Carter in which the retiring Master Chief addressed the strip club brouhaha head-on, quote, "When you find yourself making a mistake, own it, accept responsibility, and learn from it," Carter wrote. "Today, I want each of you to know that I've taken full responsibility for my mistake last week, and together with my family, I have decided to retire." The CEO of the ship, Nick Denna, who posted this on Facebook, quote, "Master Chief Carter has devoted nearly 30 years of his life to the Navy. During his 17 years of wearing his anchors, being a chief, right, from his leadership aboard the three carriers and as a command Master Chief of the USS Chancellorsville, Master Chief Carter has touched the lives of thousands of sailors and has molded countless future leaders in our Navy. I've seen firsthand, and the more than 3,000 sailors aboard the Truman can testify to, the incredible impact he's made to our command. On board USS Harry Truman, we measure ourselves by the highest standards of professionalism and personal integrity. I commend Master Chief Carter for having the forthrightness and the courage to uphold this ethos by taking responsibility and holding himself accountable for his comments." Isn't there any measure of proportionality with the scales of justice? So a 30 plus year career is now over because of a clap like you're at a strip club comment. Bruh. And there's a reporter there that writes it and the whole nation's indignant, right? I think it's, I mean, there is no proportionality on social media. All you have to do is look at the discipline discussion in the Marine Corps, right? How dare you tell us we're not good enough? The indignation. Another story in Stars and Stripes today. Pentagon identifies soldier who died Monday in Afghanistan. An Army infantryman died Monday in Afghanistan, the Pentagon announced. Specialist Miguel Holmes of Hinesville, Georgia, died in Nangarhar Province from wounds sustained in a non-combat incident, according to the DOD. The incident is under investigation. So, next story in, the president asserts executive privilege, and a story that, that the nation watched yesterday, which is another group of idiots went to a school and shot and killed somebody, as well as they shot and killed a number of people, with one fatality. In Colorado at a charter school. So again, it is beyond me to understand how murdering people, you know, solves the problems in your life. Absolutely positively. And I will tell you this, the more I watch the way we treat young people, we convince young people that, you know, everybody's so special and so unique. Right? Well, what happens if that's not true? Right? Yeah, you're like a snowflake. You're different from everybody else. But are you special and unique? Well, you know, not really. Most of us are pretty much the same. We're going to deal with the same issues in our lives. Right? So there's not a whole lot that's exceptional about us other than our snowflake-like, you know, nuances. We're humans. Most of us will go to work. Most of us will raise families. We exist under mostly the same conditions. And so by convincing everybody you're unique and your way, you find your way and all that is markedly different from the way our parents, my parents raised me, right? You're the same as the rest of these kids. Get in line, right? You need to do this, right? And then what happens is, with young people today, is all of a sudden they run into reality. And reality is, I'm not exceptional. Right? And nobody else cares about my feelings once I got out of school. I'm just this floundering human being. Right? And I'm reveling in this, I'm reveling in the joy of my uniqueness, except I can't, it doesn't pay me anything, and I can't even pay the rent in my apartment, afford my cell phone, afford health insurance, afford car insurance, and I really like to get a new car, but I can't because I'm, you know, being special doesn't get you there. And so it's almost like, in my opinion, we deceive young people. Oh, you're so special. Oh, you're so special. Oh, you're so special. Oh, I'm not special? Oh. And then we hit the disconnect. There is a reality out there where people expect things of me. Yeah, I mean, it's, and then for those that are, I don't know where they are in the gene pool, right? Are they the dropped on your head at birth crew? They're just fucked in the head? Is that who these people are? All we know is it happens on a greater and greater, on a more and more regular frequency in our country. And you can play guns, but, you know, to me, we have allowed our liberal education system to run amok. And the things that ground us, the things that build quality people, I think we have lost a bubble on. And young people are so convinced that, you know, that nobody gives them the bad news. You can get F's in every class that you take, right, in high school, and you're not going to get held back because that damages you too much. And we're all about your feelings now. We will bend over backwards for your feelings. And then ultimately you get excreted from, you know, whatever educational site has custody of you during the most of your waking hours as a teen, and all of a sudden you're out in the world and it doesn't go well, or you're struggling because you're not unique. You're not special in spite of everything you've been told. Again, you look at this stuff, like you're a high school kid and you believe that somehow or other this is going to make your life better, that this is what you should do. I mean, come on. But anyway, so far I've yet to see an article that says that the police were called, you know, like the one in Florida. you know, where the police have been called to the home 58 times and people have given the FBI tips. I've yet to see that story, which would only make it worse. So anyway, that in the news today. Here's an email. Social media. Mac, it is amazing. I tend to listen on a daily basis here at work with my little headset on. The number of stories that are purely social media driven that make it above the fold is astounding. The substantive issues that define lives tend to be at the bottom, while the white hot social media garbage tends to be at the top. 30 years of service, clap like you're in a strip club, is the reason that I'm going to retire. That's literally laughable. What's not laughable is the attitude of the captain of the ship. You can see him standing back with his palms up in the air, not wanting to get dirty with this in any way, shape, or form, defending it. That's the way we do it now. Somebody touches that rail, they get electrified, everybody else backs away and says, sorry, bud, can't help. Pretty pathetic. Social media. Yikes. You know what? You want to know something? It is the white hot event on the planet. Get near anything, social media blows up and it runs its course. And again, I dare say, I mean, I watch it. I've watched it as General Furness has touched it with the whole discipline thing. And again, the indignation of young people. How dare you tell us? How dare you as a general officer, right, tell us that we're undisciplined? And how dare you assert yourself, right? Well, again, I said this the other day, I'll say it again though. So, if somebody you know that has the kind of experiences that he has asserts themselves, what can you safely assume? Okay, so I'm going to walk you down a little bit of logic that somebody gave me years ago. Okay, if you don't understand somebody's behavior, who's a credible human being and not a kook, okay? And I would, if you ask me to categorize General Furness, credible human being or a kook, I'd say credible human being, okay? So you don't understand something they've done, okay? I'm going to give you two courses of action, two roads to go down. One, he's an idiot, okay? Two, I don't understand something that he understands that has gotten him to this point. Which one would you choose? That's pretty difficult. Okay, I think you choose, I don't understand something that he knows that makes this make sense for him. Ding, 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 ding. You win, you win, you win, you win, you win. But that's not the way social media works. It is the loudest and the shrillest, and the truth doesn't matter. Right? Because the truth would injure somebody. It would injure the little snowflake, right, mindset that young people have. And dare I say, it creeping into the military. It's crept into the military, and it's rampant in the military. And the military's got to have a discussion. How much can we be like our society, right, and still close with the Chinese and the Russian? All right, top story in Marine Corps Times. As we head over there, is crackdown at Lejeune inside the 2nd Marine Division commander's controversial call for discipline. What? All right, number two story. Another Marine commander fired. California 1st Recon Battalion, Lieutenant Colonel relieved of command. Commanding officer of the 1st Reconnaissance Battalion was relieved of his command yesterday, the Marine Corps announced. Lieutenant Colonel Francisco Zavala is the 4th Marine commander in recent weeks to be sacked. The commander of the 1st Marine Division, Major General Robert Caselvi, relieved Zavala over a lost trust and confidence in his ability to lead the battalion, a press release said. Major Jeff Erb has been appointed as the new commander of the 1st Reconnaissance Battalion. No further details were provided. And then this article goes on to account to discuss the different commanders that have been relieved over the course of the last month. All 4 Marine commanders, all between the ranks of Lieutenant Colonel and Colonel, have been relieved over the past several weeks. 2 of those incidents may be related to drunk driving charges. So anyway, there you have it. CO 1st Recon Battalion relieved. Next headline, Marine Corps looking at the Iron Dome, at Israel's Iron Dome to boost air defense. Yeah, Marine Corps doesn't do a whole lot of air defense, right? Haven't had to. So I would say Iron Dome, good place to start, man. The Israelis do it for real. The Israelis do it for real. The Marine Corps has considered a JLTV, which is the new vehicle being adopted, and a 7-ton truck-mounted version of the Iron Dome system. So a mobile system that could be expeditionary and deployable, which it would need to be. Next story, back to Metropolis. The first wave of Marines will head into the Corps' new urban battle experiments. You know, what's interesting is, you know, the articles just written recently about places like Raqqa, places like Mosul. Let me tell you what, you know, those things will destroy organizations. So what you've seen is precision air strikes, and it's not a hard pressing infantry event, right? It is a lightly pressing infantry event, which sets up, you know, airstrikes. All right, listen to this. So with that in mind, so contrast that, right, to what you just read. Marines are headed to the state of Indiana in August as part of a restart of the Corps' long-running interest in urban warfare. A rifle company worth of grunts will prowl the mock city terrain of Muscatucatuck Urban Training Center in Butlerville, Indiana, while testing out new formations, new positions, and new technology the Corps is asking to bring to the next fight. This coming rotation will be the first held, which will go until August of 2023, according to a recent online posting by the Marine Corps Warfighting Lab. The focus area for this year's experiments includes sensing and locating threats, lethality, command and control, and maneuver. So, Marine Corps going subterranean and doing other thing. So, interesting concept. I just don't know, you know, when you look at the state of modern warfare, the state of weaponry, you're going to close with an enemy that's fortified in a city. Yeah, I'm not sure, unless you want to see the major casualties that result of that. As a result of that, I'm not sure that kind of fighting is not a thing of the past. I mean, think about that. The 1st Marine Division, the 82nd Airborne Division, right? The 2nd Marine Division, right? All going into a city to fight it out with the Chinese. I don't know. I don't know that that happens again. Next headline. Marines experiment with mini carriers for their stealthy fighters. Mini carriers? What? Yeah, the F-35 Bravo, pretty formidable little event, right? I mean, let me just tell you this. You know what used to fly off our amphibs? The Harrier. Okay, let me tell you about the Harrier. It's a gas pig, so that means it's got no station time. So what do we do with the Harrier? We send it up. It uses its fuel. We tank it. It goes back to the ship. Just doesn't have legs. The F-35, a little bit different. What is, when you put F-35s on our amphibious assault ships, that makes them something else. Okay? It makes them legit. Somebody better track that. We used to, in World War II, what they call them, pocket carriers, the smaller ones. Right? The article talks about the mini lightning carriers provide a tool in the toolkit for combatant commanders. Marine Lieutenant General Steve Rutter, Deputy Commandant for Aviation, said at the 2019 Sea Air and Space Exposition located at National Harbor on Monday, quote, "We're able to turn sorties off that platform like you would mini lightning carriers," Rutter told the expo audience. Marines found that increasing the sorties of combat fighters risks reducing lift capacity. To lift 4 additional F-35 Bravos on board, crews had to leave behind 6 Osprey tilt rotor aircraft. So there's a cost to it. But they'll figure that out. What do you want? And it doesn't need to be a permanent solution, right? These guys are going to do more lift. These guys are going to do more strike. Got it. So we configure them accordingly, right? The whole concept of the MAGTAF, right? Task organization for a purpose. How about that? Pulled that out of my hat. There you go. B-52 bombers are off to rebuff Iran after threats to U.S. troops. But the DOD won't say what the threats are. Yeah, kind of weird, isn't it? Carrier battle groups, B-52s headed someplace, but there's been nothing we've known about. And then when you hear it, those of us who know about deployments, especially of big things like aircraft carriers, we understand that, right? You don't send them someplace like in 5 days. Yeah. Pack your shit, get over there. They tend to be big aero events. So anyway, it's kind of a mystery. The Iranian mystery that has us gearing up for a big shooting war that won't happen. And again, another social media kerfuffle, this time from the VA in New Hampshire. Lawsuit filed over Bible display at New Hampshire VA hospital. Uproar ensues. There you have it. A Bible, and there's a picture, right? You got an American flag, got a candle, you got a rose, you have the Bible, and a salt shaker. Yeah, I don't know. Oh, a water glass. And is that the empty plate? With the POW-MIA thing. This is not the first time this display has caused a little bit of rancor. Okay, it is the empty place setting that is done to honor those who are no longer with us. And this one has POW-MIA thing on it. A dispute over a Bible display at the Manchester Veterans Affairs Hospital in New Hampshire is erupting into a full-fledged war, to include close air support and vows from both sides to trample the enemy underfoot. The Military Religious Freedom Foundation filed a federal lawsuit Tuesday on behalf of an Air Force veteran named Alfred Montoya the director of the Manchester VA Center, seeking the removal of a Bible on display at a POW MIA table within the hospital. The display violates First Amendment establishment of religion cause, according to the lawsuit. At the center of the dispute is a Bible carried by a prisoner of war in World War II, which was added to the Missing Man Remembrance Table honoring missing veterans and POWs at the entrance of the medical center. The Department of Veterans Affairs said Tuesday the table was sponsored by a veterans group called the Northeast POW MIA Network. In January, the MRFF, which is the Military Religious Freedom Foundation, was contacted by 15 veterans who were patients of the medical center, 10 of them practicing Christians, according to Weinstein. VA officials agreed to and did remove the Bible from the display. They even had a plane do a flyover. VAMC, which is Veterans Administration, Manchester City, honor all POW MIAs. Remove Bible. Yeah, there's a picture of the plane towing that thing. Somebody was pissed. But that brought an outcry from other veterans who objected to the Bible's removal, and it reappeared on the table in February, this time encased in an acrylic box and bolted to the table. I ain't having it. It had been removed out of an abundance of caution, said Kurt Kashauer, a Department of Veterans Affairs spokesman. But VA officials changed their minds after a slew of complaints from veterans and others, many of whom dropped off Bibles at our facility in protest. After consulting with VA lawyers, the Bible was moved back onto the table. Mike Berry, chief of staff of the First Liberty Institute, a religious freedom advocacy group, defended the VA's decision. Quote, veterans organizations like the Northeast POW MIA Network should be able to honor and remember those killed, captured, or missing with a display that includes a Bible donated by a World War II veteran that represents the strength through faith necessary for American service members to survive, he said in a statement. First Liberty recently represented the Northeast POW MIA Network in successfully ensuring that the POW MIA Remembrance Display it donated would remain intact in the Manchester VA Medical Center. And so it goes, right? The things that consume us. All right, we're going to take another break. We'll come back. We'll finish up the news today. We'll check the top five stories in Early Bird. Yeah, no kidding. Those are the things that consume us. The social media. So don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up on your home for it. The one and only All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
More than 2 million Americans have served in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the Department of Veterans Affairs reports that approximately 11 to 20% of those warriors may have experienced symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. As we recognize PTSD Awareness Month, Real Warriors Campaign volunteer Meg Mitchum, a former Army combat medic who served in Iraq, encourages fellow warriors to reach out when they need help.
The hardest step was admitting that I needed help coping with PTSD. Once I did, my commanding unit fully supported me, and I was able to get the care I needed. Getting support helped me succeed in the military and now in my civilian career.
If you or a loved one is coping with an invisible wound, resources are available, and they work. For more information, visit the Real Warriors campaign at realwarriors.net or call 866-966-1020.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.